It's good to have everyone this morning. I want you to know I've thoroughly enjoyed my study in preparation for actually all the lessons that we have prepared for you this morning. I hope that you enjoy it as well and get something from it. What we're going to be doing in our lesson today is discussing the man Barnabas. And he's actually identified as Joseph Barnabas, which is another way of interpreting from the Greek the word Joseph, which is probably a bit more accurate, but his name was Joseph Barnabas, as related in Acts chapter 4 and verse 36. And Joseph, who was called or named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought it, brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So we're going to be looking at certain things about Barnabas. And these type of biographies are very beneficial and helpful as we learn more about the Bible characters and their characteristics, both positive and negative. We learn how we're to live our lives as Christians. So much can be learned. Some of them are more well known than others. And as far as the less known characters, if I can put it this way, Barnabas is one of the most well known of the less known. So there is actually a number of things that are talked about in the various passages. Now, if you look up at the slide, there are a number of verses that are here. We're not going to discuss all of them. They are the primary verses which indicate Barnabas by name. And there are other passages which just refer to works that he did or things that he did. Perhaps another couple that we could make note of here up on the text. But those are the primary ones. In some, they simply name him, but in others, we get the type of individual he was, as indicated from that first text that we've already read from Acts, the fourth chapter. Again, his first name was Joseph, or more accurately, Joseph, and he's distinguished by other Josephs in the Bible by that surname Barnabas. In fact, the word Barnabas, or name Barnabas, is one, again, given by the apostles, and it is a Greek word of Aramaic origin. He is the only one that is called Barnabas in Scripture. In fact, the only time the word Barnabas is used, son of encouragement, is used to refer to this man. The word son of encouragement, that's the phrase you've heard most often used. The actual Greek word can be rendered encouragement, exhortation, or even consolation. And so I want you to keep those three things in mind as we look at these passages, and we'll again note that he was a Levite. He was named Barnabas by the apostles, no doubt because of the characteristics that were notable in him for the entirety of his ministry and life. I want to say one thing about the character of Barnabas. He was an exceptional individual in many ways with regard to what we know about him. But he was not exceptional because of talents. He wasn't exceptional because of his position. He was exceptional because of the kind of man he was. And as such, that kind of exceptional thing is something that is within the reach of each and every one of us. He was an encourager. He was benevolent. He was hospitable. He was a good person to be around. He was a great companion. He was faithful and dependable. These are all things that each and every one of us can be. And I think perhaps more than any other of these minor characters that we might find, especially in the New Testament, although many of them had the same attributes to them, it is fleshed out for us just what kind of man Barnabas was, and the fact that ultimately he can be the same kind of man that we can be, or he is the same kind of man that we can be. Let me just give you an example of what I'm talking about. Do you remember that when on one occasion that Paul and Barnabas were being worshipped because of their ability to perform miracles, and we are told that Barnabas was called Zeus, and Paul was called Hermes because he was the chief speaker, which means that Barnabas, though no doubt he had an ability, and no doubt he did speak from time to time, it was the chief speaker was Hermes. And so the Greek culture, it's not surprising that the greater god, which was Zeus in their pantheon of deities, that was attributed to Barnabas. But Barnabas, in fact, was not the preeminent individual in that group, and perhaps he didn't do as much teaching. Paul was exemplary with regard to his leadership qualities, but Barnabas was there with him, and Barnabas was certainly an individual who helped him, as we'll see in just a few moments. So what I want to do is just spend a few moments looking at a couple of the passages and kind of fleshing out the character and the works of Barnabas so he can help us out in our own understanding of what it is that we should be or how it is that we should be. And the first point that I want to make is that he was a benevolent man. And that is indicated from the text of Acts chapter 4. We are told that he had land and he sold it and brought it, brought the money at least, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, he wasn't, again, stated as exceptional, but rather as characteristic. He was the one that was named among those disciples there at the beginning of the church who, when the Jews were out of pocket, you know, and they determined to stay there in Jerusalem because of the newness of the church and their conversion, that it was the practice of the other disciples to take care of them. We find that the Grecian widows and the other widows were given a daily distribution to feed them. We're told that the disciples who were displaced, well, they were given monies. And the way the monies were obtained is because valuable things were sold by the other Christians, including Barnabas, who had that money. And, of course, we are told of a couple of individuals who kept back part of the money and lied to the Holy Spirit. But Barnabas was a good man, and we are told that that indeed this was characteristic of all the early Christians. In Acts chapter 4, just a few verses before, in verse 34 and 35, we're told that grace was upon all of the multitudes who believed, but we're told that nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each one as anyone had need. And I would say that this should be characteristic of us as well. And just to give a commendation this morning, because it was kind of an interesting thing that came up. We had our men's study at 6:30 last Sunday. And I know that most of the men didn't want to come, and I didn't either because of how cold it was. You remember it was probably in the mid-teens by that time on Sunday night. Well, as we were in the building, we neglected to lock the front doors. Ladies, don't get mad at us. We'll do a better job of it. But a lady came in, and she had been walking. She's a homeless lady. She had been walking from Cherry Lane all the way to our building on her way to a new apartment that she'd been able to get, which was basically down at the other end of 199 right before you get to, or excuse me, 183 right before you get to Henderson Street or 199. So it was still a long walk. And so she came in because she saw the lights on the building. And she interrupted our class and asked if she could get a ride. Well, there were three pickups, but only one of them was empty. And Albert quickly offered to give her a ride. And we loaded up all the men. Josh and Josh Cox and Justin Carroll, Paul Tietze, Jim Godfrey were all here. And we loaded up three shopping carts full of possessions of her. She had a dog with her, a big dog. And Josh put her in the van and took her down there. And Albert and I followed in his truck. And we unloaded it and waited until she could get the gate open with the security man before we left. And that was just a simple thing to be done. But it was an important thing for her. She was very grateful for it. But there wasn't any hesitation on the part of any of the men to do this. And I appreciated that very much. That's the kind of individuals that Christians are to be. It was cold. It was very, very cold. And it was cold loading her up and unloading her and standing there waiting with her when the security was a bit late getting to the gate. And those various things happened, but it was made me feel good inside. It gave me a warm feeling in at least my belly. My hands were frozen, but my belly was warm. And I appreciated Albert and Josh and the others in doing these kinds of things without hesitation to help someone that they didn't know and who could not help them. So that's the kind of thing that Barnabas did, as well as the other first century Christians, which is a reason why he was named by the apostles, again, a son of encouragement. Now, let me give you another example of his compassion, and that was with regard to the conversion of Saul and his coming to Jerusalem after he had spent some time in Damascus. And that's noted in Acts chapter 9 in verse 26. This established a very close relationship between Saul and Barnabas. But here in Acts chapter 9 in verse 26, Barnabas, already an established Christian, already one who was standing out for how good a person he was, we're told in verse 26 that Saul had come to Jerusalem. He had spent time in Damascus. This is right after his conversion. And he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and they did not believe that he was a disciple. So Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles. He declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And so Saul was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. So Saul had to live down a reputation. He was, before he became a child of God, a persecutor of Christians. And we're told when he came to them, they thought it was a ruse. They didn't believe that he actually had been converted. They were all afraid of him. They did not believe he was a disciple. But Barnabas wasn't that way. Now, I don't know that we can know how much information Barnabas had that the others did not have. If the Holy Spirit informed him that Saul was legitimate, or perhaps it was that Barnabas simply believed what Saul told him. But Barnabas served as one to petition on his behalf. And the interesting thing is that it was at Barnabas' word that they were accepting of Saul, and they accepted him into their fellowship. And so with regard to that associate, that advocacy, the trust that is shown by Barnabas with regard to this man who was chief among persecutors, it's an interesting thing that had an effect on others as well. And again, just to point out how important this is, I think it is important for us to be careful as well, that we, for example, give individuals a second chance. And I think of another example in Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You'll remember the ungodly man who had his father's wife and was an individual who would bring shame even to the Gentiles. But he had repented. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6, Saul, perhaps remembering how he had been given a second chance, we're told that Paul in verse 6 said the punishment that was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man, so that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. And so Paul said, I urge you to reaffirm your love for him. For to this end I also wrote, that I might put you to the test whether you are obedient in all things. And so I don't know, again, we don't know the motivation of Paul, what brought this idea to mind, or I know the admonition was just and it was appropriate for them to receive him back, but I do think perhaps Saul had been colored by how well he had been accepted in Jerusalem following the advocacy of this man Barnabas. So Barnabas had that trusting ability and was one who did encourage the brethren to receive Paul. So the third one is found in Acts 13. If you'll look at that, Joseph Barnabas is a dependable man. And what I want to note here is in Acts chapter 13 and verse 1, that when it came time for Saul to begin his ministry among the Gentiles, he was sent out by the church at Antioch. And I want to read to you just the first few verses because I think it's important. He said, the church in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, who had been brought up by Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. So here is the first missionary journey. In fact, though Barnabas and Saul were together only on that first journey, They did work faithfully, and they were able to spread the gospel in Cyprus and Antioch of Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, as well as Perga. Now, I do want to note, because I think it's important, is that the Holy Spirit had a part in this as well. It wasn't just Antioch sending it out. The Holy Spirit said, separate these men for this purpose. So the Holy Spirit had a great deal of confidence in Barnabas and Saul. And you will also note that though they are referred to as Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas being given first billing in the relationship here, and I don't know if there's any great significance to it. I think perhaps there is a bit, because a bit later on in the study, when you get into chapter 13, in verses 2 and 9 and 13, we find a switching that goes, because Barnabas and Saul become Paul and Barnabas. And we know Barnabas as the lesser of the two. He is less known. He is an individual who you might say, again, is a semi-minor character, as we contrast Peter and John and Paul and maybe some others in Scripture. And though this is so, there's no indication at all throughout any of this that Barnabas was in any way upset about the change. And it was an evident change that Luke makes in Acts the 13th chapter. Saul was also known as Paul, and where he had said Saul and Barnabas, he all of a sudden goes Paul, or excuse me, Barnabas and Saul, he all of a sudden goes Paul and Barnabas, and it remains that way for the entirety of the time that they're together. And so at least what I think we can intimate from that is the importance of being selfless and dependable, like Barnabas was. His only desire was the success of the gospel in the preaching efforts that they made. And again, in Acts 14 is where we are told that Paul was the chief speaker of the two. And I think that to a certain extent takes selflessness and it takes humility. And I think that we are to be that way as well. It takes us to be humble and us to be selfless in order to, or selfless in order for us to act in such a way as to bring glory to God and to serve as faithful disciples. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1, you'll remember even the great Apostle Paul said, let everyone consider us as servants of Christ, as stewards of the mystery of God. And it's required in stewards that one be found faithful. And that was significant. And Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and chapter 3 made very clear that they are just those who plant and water, but it's God that gives the increase. So he who plants and he who waters, they're nothing in contrast to God who gives the increase. And that's an attitude that we should have as well. So certainly a lesson that we can learn from Barnabas as well. So the third thing that I want to note is that he was instrumental in the acceptance of the Gentiles into the kingdom of God. So you'll remember in Acts 15, when the Judaizing teachers took issue with Paul and Barnabas, and they had gone to Jerusalem to meet with the elders and the apostles on that occasion and basically hash out this issue as to whether Gentiles had to be circumcised, that there were three individuals who had a part to play in guiding the group in the right direction. First of all, Peter spoke about the conversion of Cornelius. And then we are told that Paul and Barnabas, I say three, there should be four there, I guess, because here they're equated, that they listened to Barnabas and Paul declare how many miracles and wonders that God had worked through them among the Gentiles. That's in Acts 15 and verse 12. And then you had James who weighed in as well concerning prophecy. So we have these things to establish Gentiles were included. So here was an example of Barnabas standing up to be counted, an individual who, again, was an advocate for those who were being mistreated, those who were being cast aside. They were being trying to be changed in some way that God had not ordained and marginalized as a result of that. So he was one who spoke up to be heard, proving that God was with them and that they had the truth. And his willingness, his boldness, his courage, and his willingness are things that should be true with us. You remember Jude in Jude 3 talking about how he wanted to talk about the common salvation that they had, but he found it necessary to write to them and exhort them to contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And he wasn't talking to just a precious few. He was talking to all Christians. You got to stand up and be counted. And that's certainly something Barnabas did, and I think we can learn from with regard to his example. And then the final point that we want to make in this short lesson this morning is that everything that was good about Barnabas, he was just a man. And he faltered on one occasion that is mentioned in Scripture, specifically in Galatians chapter 2. And I want you to note that, of course, the sin that is referred to here is the sin of Peter. So Peter, who was one, again, who was important, transforming with regard to the acceptance of the Gentiles in baptizing Cornelius and his household, that we are told that they were eating with the Gentiles at Antioch, but when some from Jerusalem had come, some of the Jewish brethren, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And then we are told in the latter part of that passage that the rest of the Jews played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas, that statement, even Barnabas is an indication of just how wonderful a man Barnabas was. But even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. And when I was reading this and I was thinking about it, I really didn't put this in my notes, but I do want to make an acknowledgement of it. Someone who has a great deal of influence has a very important part to play. And it's important that they maintain their faithfulness. When you think, for example, in Acts 20 of the elders of the church at Ephesus, when Paul spoke to them as he was in Miletus about to go on his way to Jerusalem, you'll remember that he told them that there would be ravenous wolves that would rise up from among them, perverse men who would speak perverse things and lead many astray. And can you just imagine them standing there, and Barnabas is looking at the great apostle Peter and eating with the great apostle Peter? Then all of a sudden Peter gets up and he separates himself from the Gentiles. And so Barnabas, because it's the great apostle Peter, even he was influenced. Now, I don't know exactly what the motivation or what the thinking was of these men, but it does specifically say that they were carried away by his hypocrisy. So there is another lesson to be learned about that, and that is if you have any influence, and that could be as a father, it could be as a grandfather, a grandmother, a mother, it could be as a friend, it could be as a leader in the church, it could be as a Bible class teacher, whatever. That again indicates just how important it is for you to live righteously, because others look at you and they can be led astray by your example. That's a very important thing for us to remember. But Barnabas had a great reputation, but he could and he did sin, and he needed to repent of that hypocrisy because he forsook the Gentiles there on that occasion after having defended them in Acts chapter 15. And we need to have that same willingness to examine ourselves, to determine our faithfulness and any need of change. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, he says to examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith, and test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you unless you are disqualified? So even that, even in his, and this is a wonderful thing about the Bible, it gives us their persons, warts and all, the good things about them as well as failures that they may have. This is not in any way a rosy glasses personification of men. The Bible doesn't do it that way. And so Barnabas was a man, he did sin, but we are told that he serves as a wonderful example for us. And so that example, again, it serves as an example to all who name the name of Christ. I know he's a man, but every one of us can learn about this man Barnabas. God intends that we take those examples. You remember in Hebrews chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is the specific one that I want to make note of, and then Hebrews 6. Remember that those individuals on that occasion, who at that time were bad examples, he said these things were written for our admonition. So there, when he's talking about the Israelites and their rebellion, he's basically telling them about it so that we learn not to rebel, that we are admonished by learning from their bad example. So whether it's a bad example or a good example, God expects us to follow the examples that we come to. Hebrews chapter 6, he said in verse 11, "We desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And so I hope that this lesson about Barnabas and what kind of man he was and what he accomplished, though a minor character, we do know enough about him to where it can serve to help us as we seek to live for Christ. So we're going to offer an invitation at this time. If there is anyone who is here who has a need to respond to the invitation call, we don't know your hearts, but we're willing to help you in any way we possibly can, and ask that you come forward now while together we stand and while we sing.